You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, another great guest for you guys, and we'll bring him on in a minute. Sean Coleman is joining me this episode, writer at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. But if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Make sure you're subscribed in iTunes, or you can download the new podcast app, Himalaya. You can subscribe to the podcast directly through the app. It's a great sponsor of this show, so make sure you go download that app as well. Sean Coleman, what's going on, my man?
Not much, man. Just enjoying some NBA playoffs and baseball's back. It's just it's a good time of year. Wish the Grizzlies were in the playoffs, but it's a fun time of year. It's fun to, if we're not in the playoffs, at least see some excitement. A lot of changes going on.
Yeah, I got really bummed out. I think the first week in the playoffs, I got really bummed out. I was like, man, the playoffs were fun. Like, it was just a fun time beginning, just getting amped up for that next playoff game. Even if I knew we were kind of going to get swept by the Spurs or whatever. I mean, it's fun being in the playoffs. And it kind of one of those things that if you do it every year, you take it for granted almost. And I know they won in the last year, but it just kind of is like, man, it hit me this year. It's like, man, it really just kind of bummed me out, you know? But, you know, I'm not a baseball fan, and you are. So this is like my downtime for sports whenever baseball starts after the playoffs stop, just because there's not a whole lot out there to watch besides soccer. So it's kind of my downtime. But either way, the Grizzlies have done quite a few things since we've spoken last. It's been a while since you've been on the show. They had some front office moves. They just elevated or made it official that they elevated Tayshaun Prince to the VP, kind of player personnel VP role that he was kind of already doing. That is, I guess, really made it official. Zach Kleiman, the new GM, Rich Cho. I know we've talked about this in our group chat for Grizzly Bear Blues, but I just want to get your thoughts real quick on what you think the front office if they made the right choices, just general thoughts on the front office as it stands right now.
Do I think they made the right choices? I think that's debatable. Do I think that they are trying to do the best? I mean, the best choice that they made was someone new. That definitely was the start. Chris Wallace, he'd been overdue for years, that a change needed to be made. Didn't like the way the Grizzlies did it, but they did it. And so, you know, with Robert Parrott in place, you know, the thing is that it's just the way that it's set up. I think Chris Harrington said it with Jeff Calkins on Jeff Calkins' show one day. The way that it's set up, everybody would love for the hot exec to come here, like when David Griffin went to the Pelicans or Sam Presti or somebody like that. But the thing about it is Parrott's not going to do that. Parrott puts maybe too much value in the people that he trusts. So the only way the Grizzlies are ever going to be successful is if they hit on a guy who's good that Parrott also trusts. And that's what we're hoping happens with Zach Kleiman. And I've seen a lot of people talking about, you know, well, Brandon Cho, bringing in Grunfeld, you know, looking at their track records, that doesn't bring a lot of encouragement. Well, the thing that people need to understand, they're not going to be the final decision makers. They're here to make sure that things go smoothly, that operations go smoothly, more than anything. They're here for their connections. Yeah. They're here for the way things go. And so I think that you really don't know, but it's one of those situations where a right decision was made, because what you didn't know with Wallace, almost anything would have been better than that. You know, here we are with a new opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of decisions to make, and they got them coming up pretty quickly. They have options on a lot of guys. Delon Wright's a restricted free agent. Is there any of those decisions, like, you know, obviously Jonas Valanciunas is not up to them. Jonas Valanciunas is a player option, which I would be shocked if he doesn't take, to be honest with you. But you can make a case to have to make a long-term, extension with Jonas Valanciunas. And he can opt in, and they can make the extension right away, or they can do the extension later on. Basically, when he opts in, he's a player, and they can make the extension anytime they want, up until the season starts, I think, and then there's a certain period we can't. Either way, doesn't matter. Delon Wright, restricted free agent. Ivan Rad has an option. They have to make a decision on Avery Bradley, where they want to guarantee his deal. Technically, they have to make a decision on Bruno Caboclo as well, and if they want to guarantee his deal, I believe. A lot of decisions. Obviously, Mike Conley's out there. Is there anything out there to you that sticks out that let's leave Mike Conley out of it, because I know that's going to be the obvious answer. But it sticks out to you that you think has to get done, or would you like to see it get done? Or what's the priority for the summer besides Mike Conley? Out of all those other decisions, what's the priority the Grizzlies need to do for the long term future of this franchise?
Well, you had asked in the previous question, talking about Tayshaun Prince. I think that's one of the reasons why they elevated him, so he can really focus on that specific task. And there's three players, and then this is the list of priority for him: DeLone Wright, Bruno Caboclo, and Ivan Rapp. You've already got CJ Miles in tow. Avery Bradley, you know, if that works out, that's fine. To me, he really is, you know, if he works out, great. If he doesn't, that's fine. But those three players, we're going to rebuild in some way, shape, or form. And DeLone Wright, Bruno Caboclo, and Ivan Rabb, for different reasons, are talents that you want to have for the rebuild. DeLone Wright, even though he's 27 years old, he's a good talent to have. No, he's not a star, but he can start if he needs to. He can be a combo rotational guard if your team surprises and you may be competitive. A four-year agreement with him, or commitment to him in today's NBA, I think is very good. You may have shooting concerns with him. He makes up for it by getting other people involved and getting to the rim. And with Ivan Rabb and Bruno Caboclo, you missed on so many draft picks in the past. Making cheap commitments to them and putting a lot of emphasis on developing their talent, the very least, they're rotational reserve players that deepen your bench. That's something as they mature that really helps your strength. And so if you have a second unit of Wright, Caboclo, and Rabb, at the very least, that's great. If they develop into something more, it shows that you've made good changes to player development. So in order, Wright, Caboclo, and Rabb, I would do all that I can to try to commit to them, if not just next year, possibly beyond, if you can develop them correctly.
What do you think of Bruno Caboclo? What do you think his ceiling is in this league?
I think that he is a 20 to 25 minute 3-and-D player. I think that people want to talk about Robert Covington. People want to talk about, him being more than he is. He looks like the Greek Freak, and he looks like Kevin Durant. He doesn't move like them. He just simply doesn't. He doesn't have that type of body coordination. But I think what he is someone that has a lot of confidence that you can bring in for 20 to 25 minutes. On offense, he's more skilled than he is on defense in terms of like the mental aspect. He's a catch-and-shoot three-point guy who also can get to the rim if he needs to. But on defense, I think it's where he needs to be, where they really need to focus on his development. I think if he could work with Kyle Anderson, it would be wonderful. They're two opposite players who can have the same impact. Kyle does it with his mind. Bruno already is an asset with his length. He can alter shots anywhere, makes passing lanes hard to find. You know, I think I put out there in his player review that him and Karl Anthony Towns were the only players who averaged 12.7 rebounds, two threes, and two blocks per 36 minutes this game. So that's where I think he is. I think he's a 20 to 25-minute reserve who can come in, play very good defense if he gets his brains with his body, and can also hit some good threes, maybe 10 to 12 points a night, with some very good defense to keep the Grizzlies team defense at all times at a high level.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good assessment. You know, something we really haven't talked about and you mentioned is Kyle Anderson. He had shoulder surgery, or he had surgery on his rib to take I don't remember the exact name of the surgery. I don't know if you do, but I guess
thoracic outlet surgery, I believe.
Yeah, that's yes, that sounds familiar. Yeah, something difficult to remember, but they took a piece out of his rib cage, I believe. Either way, something that we really haven't discussed on this show, I haven't really seen a lot of people talk about, is are we concerned at Kyle Anderson's ability to come back and play basketball? I mean, this is something that same issues that I guess Marco Fultz has dealt with and Brandon Ingram. Obviously, they don't know what those – I think this is a surgery that alleviates different problems, and everybody's problems are different. But according to Kyle in media days, he has been dealing with this from before he got to the Grizzlies. Are you concerned at all about Kyle coming back and being able to play right away? Obviously, you're not a doctor, neither am I, but just based off what we know from this year and what we've seen, I guess, around the league.
Well, so I think that maybe this the injury itself has more bark than bite. Reason why I was able to know it, you see it come up a lot in baseball with pitchers. It affects their shoulder, and once they get it done, and players too, or position players too, it makes them better, makes them have more free range. I don't think with Kyle's it's big of a concern as it is with Fultz or Ingram. Ingram was a little bit more severe. Fultz obviously has been a little bit more longevity of a concern, but they're more, they have more value in their scoring. With Kyle's defense and his smarts and his facilitation, I think if you can at least eliminate the problem from keep popping up, I don't necessarily think he becomes a 15 to 20 minute a night scorer or an effective outside shooter, but he at least puts him on the court. And when he's on the court with his defense and his facilitation, plus his ability to get around the rim and get key rebounds and baskets, I think if he keeps doing that, he's well worth the investment as a potential stretch for a big three for the Grizzlies going forward. So I don't think it's that much of a concern if the surgery alleviates the pain.
Wouldn't that be something if Kyle Anderson just came back and started just draining threes? Like all of a sudden he shoots better now. You have some weird surgery and all of a sudden he's got alleviates pain and just starts draining threes. That would be something.
It'd be perfect karma for the Grizzlies. You get exactly what you wanted out of Chandler Parsons at a third of the price. I think we're due for that.
Yeah, it would be a very Grizzlies thing to happen if Kyle Anderson just came back and just started draining threes. We're going to continue this conversation with Sean Coleman, writer for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Stay tuned through the break. We'll continue to talk about Sean. We'll talk about Mike Conley coming up after the break. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process, but today, hiring can be easy and you only have to go to one place to get it done, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Sean Coleman, writer at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. If you're not already following him on Twitter, please do so. If you're not already following his stuff on GrizzlyBearBlues.com, head over there and read his stuff as well. It's really good. Great writer and a good friend of mine. Mentioned before the break, going to talk about Mike Conley. Obviously, I mentioned it earlier because I said don't include Mike Conley in some of the offseason plans because this is probably the biggest decision the Grizzlies have to make is Mike Conley. If you're Zach Kleiman, A, you have to decide on, do you want to part with Mike Conley? That probably has something that probably has a lot to do with what you're offered. And B, what do you think they are able to get for Mike Conley?
Joe Mullinax, the site manager over at Grizzly Bear Blues, I think has been spot on with his potential returns. I feel like, yes, you shop Conley. Conley has made it evident that he is ready to move on to a more competitive environment. The Grizzlies are in a position, even if they don't convey, to where they need to move on. They need to really find a way to get Mike Conley. And it's for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's the best avenue to assets. I've been saying that for months now. You are limited on your assets right now until that conveyance happens. So you need to use him as an avenue for assets. And so that does mean trading him. And I think that it makes sense. If you want to do right by Conley, good. Send him to a competitive team. But don't sit here and try to make his happiness your key with this trade. It's nothing against Conley. It's just what's best for your franchise. And they need to focus on getting a good package back. I think that's picks. I think that it's a good player. I really think that the focus should be, though, not need, but talent. That's the big thing for me. Do a trade involving Conley that gives you the best ability to acquire the most talent you possibly can.
Is there anybody out there, I guess, that you think the Grizzlies should target, young player-wise? I know you're a huge fan of Sabonis, but I don't think they're going to get Sabonis from Indiana. I just don't think it's going to happen. You might, but I don't. I think that's a reach. But is there a player out there, a young player, that you think the Grizzlies should try to prioritize and try to go out and get maybe like Sabonis, maybe someone, a realistic get of a team out there that you like, that you think would fit long term, you think they can keep. Is there anybody out there that you've seen that you think the Grizzlies should target?
Well, I mean, there are a few players. I mean, you know, we would love to talk about Malik Beasley from Denver, or you know, from Detroit. I can't think of his name. Luke Kennard. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are a few players that are out there, but it really, to me, one of the reasons why I like the idea of Domantas Sabonis and Jaylen Brown, for instance, there are several talents out there that I would love to get. But I think that a big key for Memphis as well is positioning themselves to acquire a talent that they also could keep in tow long term. The reason why we say Sabonis, I understand his talent may not seem like it would be able to, you know, be acquired for Conley, but his situation. Do they really want to commit $40 million to him and Turner long term? That's right. The reason why I would look at Sabonis. Jaylen Brown, do the Celtics with their cap situation want to commit to him? I think that's why you get it. And you also get that talent coming into Memphis for a year, so you have that extra chance to make it make sense for them to commit long term. So those are some players that I would like, Jaylen Brown and Sabonis especially. They may be too far of a reach. Below their level, I would go for picks. If we can get multiple firsts, I would take that as the goal if you can't get a player on the level of Sabonis or a Brown.
Would you rather have picks or players? I'm a guy that I would always rather, if you gave me a choice, whether I want a young player or a pick, I will always pick young player. That's just me because I like a proven known commodity. And in the draft, and even if you're a good team, even if you're a team that's good at drafting, you can still miss. It's just so the NBA is so different than the college game that it is. You just really never know. I mean, there are players, yes, you know, that are going to be good, but a lot of times you just really never know if their game's going to translate to the NBA, and it can be so hit or miss. So for me, I'm always going young prospect that I know I've seen a couple years over in the NBA, know what he can and can't do. I know his upside. What about you? Would you rather have the draft pick, the potential, maybe a higher draft pick, or a young prospect?
I agree with you 110% in a vacuum that I would love a player, because the one thing that you know about the player, you have production instead of potential. You know what they can do. Would love Sabonis and Brown. But the point that I just mentioned in the last question also plays a part. You have to consider the environment. Memphis does not have the same access to talent. It does not have the same as positive an outlook as bigger markets do with talent. So that's why I think picks become more valuable for a small market team like Memphis that has missed on picks, missed on free agents. It's the control that comes with it. So if I had the chance to get a player, like, you know, we've thrown out Ben Simmons as an option. Yeah, that's fine if we got Ben Simmons, but if we only got him for 1 to 2 years, I know there's a chance he could stay longer. I don't think he wants to stay in the Memphis market. If it's an overwhelming talent, but he only stays here for 1 year, is it really worth it? I don't think so. So like I was saying, if you can get a player at a certain level of production that you know you have a good chance of keeping long term, take that all day over picks.
Yeah.
But if you've got a guy who you're questioning is going to be here past 1 year or two, and instead you can get multiple picks, you can control for 3 or 4 years, possibly longer, I'll probably take the pick route.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You're the control and being able to control for a player for basically 9 years into his career is something significant. And really, they don't, you know, the only way they could really get out of that is if they just force their way into a trade, which they could. I mean, they could just say, I'm not going to play and take the fines, and it could get ugly. And yeah, that's going to happen. But that's a rare. That doesn't really happen with young players. They usually just play and they make the decision on their first free agent and they probably leave. They hate it or whatever. But that doesn't really happen a lot. You don't see a lot of young players that just get fed up and say, I'm not going to play. It's very rare. But I like your reasoning on that. We're going to take one more break. We're going to come back. We're going to finish up with Sean Coleman, writer at GrizzlyRareBlues.com. We'll finish up with him with a few more questions, and then we'll get out of here for today's episode. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. It's 1080 full HD. The images are so clear you won't miss a thing. It's got night vision and two-way audio. Wyze has one mission, is to bring amazing smart home products and make it accessible to every single person. If you're on vacation and want to check on your house All you have to do is log into their app and see the live stream from anywhere in the world. If you're on vacation, if you want to make sure your dogs are okay, if you want to make sure that your plants have been watered, literally you can watch anything you want to watch from anywhere in the world with the WiseCam at just $20 a camera. It is super, super affordable. And even bigger bonus, they have a free 14-day rolling cloud storage and no subscriptions. I know that every single time you get something, there's always that hidden thing as you have to subscribe. Well, with WiseCam, there is no subscriptions at all. And for just $10 more, WiseCam Pan gives you 360 degrees of coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. You can also track action. WiseCam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. You want to watch your pets while you're on vacation? It's literally never been easier, as the WiseCam Pan will keep up with the motion as it crosses the field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been so easy. It even works with Alexa. It also works on your smartphone from literally anywhere in the world. Go to wise.com/locked. That's wise.com, WYZE.com/locked. You'll get the lowest price available. Welcome back to the show. Talking with senior writer at Grizzly Bear Blues, Sean Coleman. Great writer, good friend of mine. Want to finish up with you a few more questions. The Grizzlies, again, we just talked about the idea of trading Mike Conley, the idea of getting some young prospects in here. What do you do if you trade Mike Conley? Then keeping Jonas Valanciunas doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me at that point. I think you. If you're trying to, you need players. It doesn't really matter, I think, at this point. But long term, if you trade Mike Conley, what do you do with Jonas Valanciunas? You let him opt in, play his 1 year, and you have something like, you know, if you get expirings for Mike, if that's the route you go, you get something like, you know, 50 or 60 million coming off the books next year, which is just crazy, including Chandler, if you're able to deal Chandler Parsons as well. Like, what do you do with Jonas Valanciunas?
I feel like the best thing for the Grizzlies is you certainly want him to opt in next year. And I feel that,
I think he's going to opt in regardless. I mean, there's no way that Jonas Valanciunas gets $17 million on the open market. He's lucky if he gets 15, to be honest with you. I think he's going to opt in regardless.
I would not commit to him long-term, especially if you trade Mike Conley, because I mean, look at it this way. If you trade Mike Conley, that is your admission that you're looking to rebuild. You give Jonas Valanciunas a multi-year deal, he does nothing but raise your floor. That defeats the purpose. Even if you're trying to compete next year, if you don't convey this year, all he does is raise your floor. Okay, so the route of rebuilding, he doesn't really help out. Say you surprise. Say you're a playoff team. Players like Jonas Valanciunas, they see their value go down. Peter Edmondson mentioned it the other day. I call him from time to time to talk with him and CJ on their show in the morning. Peter Edmondson made a great point. His time in the playoffs, or his value in the playoffs, lessens because you play so many games so quickly back to back. So either avenue you go, you're making a commitment that really is not going to pay off for you in the end. So, no, I mean, if you want to potentially sign him to maybe a two-year deal, that's fine. He becomes an expiring after this year. Especially do that if you don't convey this year. But no, I wouldn't commit four years to him. It's just I don't think the value's there.
I think you're probably right on money. I like Jonas, and I think it all depends with him. It all depends on what you do with Mike and what the number you can get from him. Like if you sign like Jonas Valanciunas for 3 years at $12 million a year, I don't think that's that big a deal. And I think that's probably his floor. I think his number is probably somewhere around 12 to 15. But I don't think it's that crazy. And I don't think it would be an unmovable contract as well. I don't think something you couldn't get out of. But I think it largely depends on what you do with Mike Conley first. You mentioned next year and possibly, you know, picking, obviously having a draft pick next year, doing this whole convey or not convey all over again next year because the lottery is coming up. The Grizzlies might as well. They might very well have a pick in this draft. If the Grizzlies pick in this draft and have to worry about conveying next year, does that change things with the way you go about Mike Conley, Jonas Valanciunas? Does that matter to you at all?
No, it doesn't. And the reason why I say that is this, is because at the end of the day, it doesn't really change the aspect. You got to know the team. And if you get a healthy Kyle Anderson back, if you get another, summer of development for Jaren Jackson Jr., you extend the long right. You got C.J. Miles coming back. You got Bruno Caboclo. I think the Grizzlies could next year to top six. That means you've got to win 30 ball games. I think the Grizzlies can win 30 ball games with that team. But you also have to weigh it out this way. If you keep Mike Conley for another year, you lose a ton of value. Right now, he's coming off the best offensive month in his career with two more years left, and he's playing at a level where he really could make a team right on the brink upset a more talented team in the playoffs. That's where his value is at its peak right now. Conveying or not conveying doesn't have any impact on that. You stay focused on using Conley as the best avenue to your chance to get future assets. Take advantage of that. Get those assets. Trade Conley, and then deal with the situation after you've made that trade. So conveying or not conveying does not change the outlook for Mike Conley. You still trading.
Sean Coleman, I think you're absolutely right. I don't think it matters that you go out and get as much value and extract as much value as you can for Mike Conley. Sean Coleman, senior writer at Grizzly Bear Blues. Man, I appreciate you joining me. It was a great episode. If you have not already subscribed, please do so in the Apple Podcast app or wherever you get your podcasts on. You can download the new Himalaya Podcast app and subscribe to the podcast directly from there. It's a great sponsor of this very show, the Himalaya Podcast app, so make sure you get that. But Sean, I appreciate you joining me, and we'll do it again soon.
Hey, I always appreciate the chance to talk with you, Mark. Have a great night, man.